We're going to endeavor to begin to look at the how of the sanctified walk. In order to learn the how of the sanctified walk, it's not an easy thing to do because it's an individual walk. That which may be a temptation for you may not be a temptation for your brother or your sister in Christ. So it's a towered walk, and it's something that you have to work out with God. But we must understand, before we can learn what we should do, we must understand what we're responsible for, what we are responsible for, and what's available and what's not available. These are basic foundational keys, because if something's not available, you can't receive it into manifestation. But if something is available, you can receive it. I'd like you to go to 2 Corinthians. See, God's love and God's grace, if I were to be able to try to communicate it to you with regards to your walk for Him and your reverence to Him, many times is the way a parent works with a child, God being the parent in this analogy and us being children. But in an earthly family, you have a mother and a father, and you have children. And you love your children, and you instruct your children, and you reprove and correct and give your children doctrine. But it's constantly mixed with love, with care and concern. Because you want your children to be safe. You want them to be blessed. You want them to do the right thing. You want to be proud of them, and they want to be proud of themselves when they get older. And as every child, as they endeavor to grow up and mature, that's the goal, children take advantage of your grace and love. And that's just the way it is. And they abuse it. You love them. You give them things. You do the best you can for them. And sometimes they're just unthankful. And sometimes they take advantage of your grace and your goodness. And you know that as a parent, right? Has any parent here not experienced that? But what do? You continue to love them. You continue to bless them. You continue to do the best you can for them. And your goal is that one day, they will what? Grow up. They will mature. And then they will recognize your goodness, your grace, your love. And your goal is that one day when they do grow up, that they themselves will begin to appreciate it and then walk in it and do what? Teach their children if they have kids, right? Well, see, that's the way we are with God. When we start to get into the Word, we all abuse God's grace and mercy and goodness because we don't know a lot of the Word. We don't know a lot about God. We don't know a lot about who we are and Jesus Christ and all these things. So we still got some old habits and some bad things we have to break in our life. And sometimes we take advantage of God's grace and mercy, and we've all been guilty of that. But as we grow up, as we mature, we're supposed to recognize that, hey, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this. I really shouldn't be taking advantage of, you know, He's blessed me this long. He's let me live this long with this dumb thing that I'm doing. Maybe it's time that I need to mature and stop, put off this kind of stupid thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and God's patient, and God's gracious, and He waits for us just the way you wait for your kid. And I don't know if you've ever said this to yourself or to your spouse. Just be patient, honey. It'll work out. They'll come around. They'll come. Because that's your goal. That's the mindset you hold for them. Or, wait, do they have kids? Then they'll see. That's the payback. No, that's recompensed evil for you. That's not good. Scratch that from the tape. But then it may take that till they finally, oh, now I know what Daddy and Mommy were talking about. Now I know what I was putting them through, and they mature that way. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation." It says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And all things, verse 18, "are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Of reconciliation. Now, the problem with some people is that they read into the verse. They read into the verse. What the verse does not say is that all old things are passed away and all things are become new. Now, I have here Greek Interlinear New Testament, and this has the Greek words, and it has a corresponding English translation above it. This was taken from 7 or 8 critical Greek texts, and according to most critical Greek texts, the Greek word rendered "all" in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new." All things. See the word "all" there? The word "all" in verse 17 is omitted. Thus, the end of the verse would read, "Things have become new," or "new things have come." And that's a big difference between "all things are become new" and "new things have come." The New International translates the verse, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." The new has come. In 2 Corinthians, here in this interlinear, if I take this and if I go to verse 17 of chapter 5, you will see that when it gets to the word "all have become new, all things," right above that is the letter B, is the letter B. Now, the letter B tells me that I'm supposed to go to the bottom of the page, and I'm supposed to look for the letter B at the bottom of the page, okay? That's the way this book works. So I go to the bottom of the page, and I look for the letter B. When I see the letter B down here at the bottom of the page, I see a minus sign. Now, the minus sign is telling me it's omitted. It's omitted. And then there's Greek words after the minus sign, which tells me that according to the text, those Greek words are not in the text. That's why the minus sign. Then after the minus sign and the Greek words, you have L, T, T, R, and A. Now, if you go to the front of the book, you will see that L, T, T, R, and A are abbreviations for the texts that are quoted throughout this book. L is Lachman's translation. T is Tischendorf's translation. T, R is Tregellis's translation. And the A is Alford's translation. Okay? And two of these translations, Elzevar and Stefan's, they're basically, the one came from the other. This Stephen's text, which the King James is mostly translated from. So I'll leave this here if you want to snoop through it. The two leaves are in here. And you'll see that those translations actually omit that word "all." They actually omit it. All things, all. When you read the word "all" in the Bible, it's used "all without exception," or "all with distinction," right? All with an exception. The word "all" here is not used "all without exception." And this is a great key to understand. All things have not become new. all things have not become new in Christ. But certain new things have come to those that are in Christ. All things have not become new to those that are in Christ, born again, new creation. Only certain things have come lately or are new to them that are in Christ. Verse 18 then states, all things are of God. The all things that is referred to here is the all new things that came when the new creation came in Christ. These are the new things that are new, and they are of God. That which the individual got when they got to the place where they got in Christ, when they got to the place where something inside of them was born that was a new creation, was a new creation. The new creation, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creation is the way it reads. The new creation that comes to those that are in Christ at the time of the new birth is what? It's the Holy Spirit. It's that Holy Spirit that God creates in each and every individual believer. That's the new thing. And that's created in you in the time of the new birth. Now, Corinthians is talking about sanctified, saved people. It's talking about people that are in Christ, people that are new creations. Now, what does the Word teach us with regards to some of the new things that have come to those that are now in Christ? What are some of the things that come to those new creations? When God gave that Holy Spirit, created that Holy Spirit in the individual, ever since the day of Pentecost, it was available. What were some of the new things that came with that new creation, that Spirit of God, that gift of God, the new birth? Well, yeah, there's a lot of things. But let's look at it from the Scriptures. One of the new things that comes from God is the Holy Spirit that's born inside of every born-again believer, and it's in them by what? Seed. Okay, so where's our Scripture? 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth for what? See, now that had not been available in the Old Testament. However, there was something available in the Old Testament. There was a Spirit, holy from God, available in the Old Testament. And it was upon certain people in the Old Testament, and it was upon them by a condition. That would have been the old thing. The old thing that had passed away would have been that Spirit and that Spirit connection. And that was replaced by the new thing in Christ. And the new thing that came was Spirit by seed, incorruptible, born inside the believer. Look at Psalm 51. And watch the pattern begin. Psalm 51, verse 11. David praying. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from what? Me. The old thing that had passed away in Christ on the day of Pentecost in the new creation was the Spirit that David had that passed away, being in a person or upon a person, upon a condition. The new Spirit that God gave that replaced it is now in a person by what? Seed, and you can never lose it. You see it? The old thing passed away. The new thing that came and replaced it was what? Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit that was what? Created inside of us by seed. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Now, nowhere in the Old Testament do you ever see anybody what? Speak with other tongues. See, this is a new thing that came to those that are in Christ. This is part of the new creation. This is part of the gift of what? Holy Spirit, which was what? Created in the individual. You see it? On the day of Pentecost. And one of the things that God gave now is that you're able to what? Speak in tongues. Now, the closest you get to even referring to this in the Old Testament is a prophecy written in Isaiah 28:11 that prophesies about something that's going to come. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. But that was never available. That was a new thing that came with Christ. Look at Romans chapter 7. Another new thing that came when the new creation came in Christ, was not only the ability to speak in tongues, but also the ability to operate tongues with what? Interpretation, therefore edifying the body of Christ. They had prophecy in the Old Testament, but did they have tongues with interpretation? No, it was a what? A new thing. And it was a new thing that was from God, according to Corinthians. It was one of the new things God gave when a person became a new creation in Christ. You see it? Romans 7, look at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto who? God. Here, the old that was passed away was the need to obey what? The law. That was an old thing that was passed away. The new that replaced it was the body of Christ. That you should bring forth fruit, dead to the law, by the what? Body of Christ. Christ accomplished those things so that we are not under the law anymore. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't obey some of the law, because some of the law still applies to us, like thou shalt not commit adultery, this sort of thing, right? Just good common sense things. But he's talking about that which makes you righteous, that's what you have to do to stand before God, to have access to God, to have forgiveness. Christ did all that away. That's one of the new things that you became when Christ came to you. You understand? When you got that Holy Spirit inside of you, this is a new thing, and it's one of the new things from God. One of the old things that passed away, like we read in Corinthians, was the need for the obedience to the law in that context. Romans 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the what? Oldness of the law. So that which is the old was we were delivered from the law. We were under that. And now the new thing that came in Christ is that we should serve in what? Newness of what? Spirit. You see, that's an old thing that was passed away. And behold, things become new. That was one of the new things God gave on the day of Pentecost. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. By one offense came condemnation, it says. Who was that? It was Adam. That was the old thing. But that was an old thing that was passed away, because it says by the righteousness of one came justification of what? Life. So up until the day of Pentecost and the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, that was there. But when Jesus Christ came, that was one of the old things that were passed away, and one of the new things which came from God was that by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, we had justification to life. You see it? Now, by one's disobedience, it says many were made what? Sinners. Now, it says by one's obedience shall many be made what? Righteous. So up until that point, that's where you were and that's where you were stuck. But God did away with that, and the new thing that came in the new birth was that by one's obedience, many should be made righteous. This was a new thing that God did in Jesus Christ in the new birth. You understand? Because it wasn't available before. He said, look, you guys can't do it. This guy messed you all up. I'm going to send the second Adam, my son, and he's going to do it. And when he accomplishes it, he's going to wipe out all this other junk. But that did not come until, you know, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, ascension, and the giving of what? The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And in that gift, that was part of the new things, one of the new things that God gave. Numbers 11:29. This is an interesting one. Moses talking to Joshua, and people are starting to manifest and prophesy. And Joshua's looking around saying, what's going on? And Moses said unto him, verse 29, enviest thou for my sake? You know, you're the man, Moses. What are these guys doing this for? And he goes around and he says, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon what? Okay. One of the old things that stood in the Old Testament, all the way up until the day of Pentecost, while I'm talking, go to 1 Corinthians 12. One of the old things that stood all the way up until the day of Pentecost is that God only gave that Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to certain people. And God only gave that Holy Spirit to certain people for a certain reason with the operation of certain manifestations. Okay, because you can't see all the manifestations in one sitting. And you can't see speaking in tongues and interpretation. That was one of the old things that was set in place until the day of Pentecost. Now, one of the new things that came, that the old thing was passed away, it replaced it, was in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, where it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given what? To every man to profit withal. You see it? Back in the Old Testament, Joshua said, what are these guys doing? And Moses said, oh, I wish everybody had this. But it's not the way it is. But today, in Christ, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many? All. All that are what? In Christ, born again. You see it? It's given to every man. Now, these are things where old things are passed away, all things become new, or things become new. These are what God did. Now, I'm sure that you can sit here and go through the Word of God and come up with dozens of more examples, right? Sure you could. But for instance, to my head right now, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 21. For since by man came death, that's an old thing, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's a new thing, right? For as in Adam all die, that's an old thing, right? Even so in Christ all shall what? That's a new thing, right? But every man is in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and after those days are Christ with his coming. And he starts to go on. You understand? Then he says the mortal put on immortality and this sort of thing. So you see the old passed away and the new. And you see this throughout the Word of God. Now, what about the old things that haven't passed away yet? For instance, do we have our new bodies? Do we still have our old bodies? Okay, well, if they passed away is the option, Brent, so it's we're okay, right? It's a lesser of two evils. But we know that the Word says that we're going to get a new what? But has the old passed away? So we are faced with the old, right? And not only being faced with the old, we're faced with what the old does to us and requires of us. And that's just being honest, because we don't have the new yet, right? Revelation 21. Go to Revelation 21 if you want. What about the heavens and the earth? Have they passed away yet? Have the new heavens and new earth come to us yet? No. So that's an old thing that hasn't passed away yet that we have to still deal with, correct? Sure. But there's a day coming in the future, as Revelation 21:1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away. But up until that point, guess what? The first, or the heaven and earth that we're in now, it's still here. And we are living in that. We are not living in the kingdom. We are not living in the new heaven and the new earth with the new body, right? Okay. So these are some of the old things that haven't passed away yet, that we're here and we need to deal with. We need to deal with this body, right? We need to deal with the earth. We need to deal with the heavens. We need to deal with each other, right? Because we don't have perfectly renewed minds, and we don't have, you know, we're not in the kingdom. Now go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, and I saw, no, I'm sorry, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now the book of Romans, the epistle of Romans, is addressing brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren. It's talking to born again believers. It's talking to those people who are sanctified, who belong to the church of God. Being conformed to this world has not passed away in Christ. Because verse 2 says, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not being conformed and renewing your mind are not things that have passed away in Christ, nor are they new things that have come to us from God. What does that mean? That means that it is still your responsibility to not conform to the things of this world, and it is still your responsibility to transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. Because this isn't something that was passed away, because the temptation is still here. You see? These are things that people are exhorted to do for themselves. Jesus Christ offered his life as a sacrifice by dying for the sins of other people. In return, we should offer ourselves in service in our walk as a living sacrifice. God doesn't want us to die. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices when we do not conform to the world, and we transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds. Now, what does that mean in the area of life? Because some will apply to one and some will not apply to another. I know that makes no sense, but it will. If you are accustomed to a certain lifestyle before you got saved, then it would have been a sacrifice not to conform to this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind if you chose to change. In other words, say you had problems with drugs before you got born again. You conform to the world of drugs and what the adversary said about drugs. When you got born again, you were lovingly beseeched, "I beseech you, brethren, that you do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You hear that. You say, "I'm going to believe that. I'm going to apply that to my life." So not conforming to that previous lifestyle of drugs and being transformed by the renewing of your mind, listening to what the Word says and walking out and just doing it in love, that is your living sacrifice given back to Jesus Christ. You stop doing drugs. What about greed? What if your whole life was built around money? If you were Ebenezer Scrooge, and that's all you think, you slept and you ate, you drank money. Before you got born again, then you learned what the Word said. You don't want to be conformed to the world. So not being conformed to the world, and you want to be transformed to what the Word says by the renewing of your mind. You change your mindset, you change your attitudes, your attitude, your worldview about money, and you start to handle money and think about money properly. That was your living sacrifice given to God, given to Jesus Christ, by not conforming to that manner of lifestyle anymore. What about lust? Say you would just ran around with anything that walked, two or four legs. And then you got into the Word, and you found that it's wrong to cheat on your wife and you shouldn't do these kind of things. So you don't want to conform to that, to the world, to your previous lifestyle, so you change. You transform you by the renewing of your mind. You learn what the Word says. You walk out in love. And that sacrifice, that living sacrifice that you would have made would have been one of getting rid of that lust. But see, it doesn't happen to everybody. But it does happen to all of us in different aspects of life. Some of us had to give up cursing. Some of us had to give up money. Some of us had to give up drinking. So, you know what I'm saying? It's temptations are there, but it's that which you do. It's that which you do. And it depends on what you're accustomed to. Now, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world." Why the warning if the temptation is not there? Because you damn right know that the temptation to be conformed to this world is there on your TV, on your radio, on your work job, in your friends, in your, it just is. It's everywhere. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If the renewed mind has no place in your transformation, why is it there? See, this isn't something that has passed away in Christ. This isn't something that's new and has been replaced. Our body is not something that has passed away in Christ. It's not something new that has been replaced. So we have to work within the framework of our body. We have to work within the framework of our mind, because our minds have not passed away in Christ. I was reading PFAL the other night, and Dr. writes in the Renewed Mind section, he says, when you get born again, you have the same mind that you had before you got born again. Thus, the need for the renewing of the mind. You know, you think bad things. So a living sacrifice to God is, okay, now I need to stop thinking that. Now, there's a way to go about that. You don't make rules and regulations. You put the good water in and the dirty water comes out. And as you put the word, more of the word on, it cleans you out. You understand? But this is your sacrifice. This is what you do. You have to make a decision to put the word in, right? You have to make a decision to get to a place where you can hear the word. You have to make a decision to build a relationship with God and want to love God and want to do things right. These are all things that we are still responsible for. And see, unless we understand this, we won't understand what is our job to do and what is God's job to do. Because all things are not passed away in Christ. All things have not become new. Only certain things are new, and only certain things have passed away. Have a lot of old bad things passed away? Absolutely. But there's still some things that haven't. And those things that are left, God expects us to deal with them and to function in this renewed mind accordingly to what the Word teaches us to do. Now, look at Romans 8. Show you a few more. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You guys know this by heart. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Okay, so these things are alive and real and well and functioning, right? These aren't things that have passed away, are they? Has tribulation passed away or distress or or any of these things? No. See, so understanding that these are things that haven't passed away, we have to face that. And now we have to understand that, how do I deal with that? Because I don't want to be conformed to this world, because that hasn't passed away either. I don't have a perfectly removed mind and just be able to walk like this and say, oh, everything's fine. That's a lie. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, because that's what the Word encourages me to do. So understanding that I'm going to go through famine, nakedness, peril, persecution, tribulation, how do I respond when I'm in those types of situations? For me to respond and say, oh, this isn't happening because all things have passed away in Christ, is, I don't know what that is, but some people do that, don't they? Some churches teach, oh, this isn't real, this has been gone, this is just an illusion. It's not an illusion, okay? That pain you feel, a lot of times, it's not an illusion. Let's be honest. That broken arm, that's not an illusion. Okay, why do you have that? Because this hasn't passed away yet. You got an old body. How about that hunger pain you feel right about here when it gets dinner time? That's not an illusion. You need a cheeseburger to fix that. Or is that from Eve's? Okay. That's not an illusion. Why is that? Because it hasn't passed away yet, right? For I am persuaded. Oh, no, never mind. I'm sorry. Let me back up. Okay, verse 36. For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But these other things are there. And he mentions them. He mentions principalities. He mentions angels. He mentions powers. Why does he mention that? Because that's what we have to deal with. And we better be aware of these things. And if we're not aware of these things, and if we're not aware of the spirit realm and the way the spirit realm works, the devil's going to have a heyday with us. You understand? Because I want to tell you something. The devil and his host of spirits is one of the things that haven't passed away yet in Christ. But who knows if there's a day coming when they're going into the pit, right? In the future, right? But in the meantime, where is he? Well, he's here, dear Lord. So who has to deal with them? We do. Even if we don't want to deal with them, guess what? He'll come after you just to mess your life up. You understand? So it's important to know what we have and what we can stand on and what we haven't got yet. I guess is a good way to say it. It's coming, but we haven't got it yet. So what do we do in the meantime until we get the fullness of the inheritance as promised to us, right? That's the key. What do we do? What do we have in Christ? What do we have to believe for? You know, now you get sick, there's healing available. God promises that. But the reason why we get sick is because the old hasn't passed away yet. But along with that, God has made a way for us to escape where he says, well, everything's been taken care of in Christ. It's available to believe to be healed. This sort of thing. See, these are things that haven't passed away yet in Christ. And this is why we are exhorted not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, if we didn't have to worry about being conformed to this world, the exhortation wouldn't be there. If we didn't have to worry about transforming ourselves by the renewing of our minds, the exhortation wouldn't be there. But guess what? It's available to be conformed to this world. And every one of us in this room is guilty of that to some degree, and I'll guarantee you, myself included. And I'll sit with you for 5 minutes and I'll point it out to you. You sit with me for one and point it out to me. No, every one of us is conformed to this world in some way, shape, or form. Things that we shouldn't do, things that we shouldn't think, things that we shouldn't say, places we shouldn't go, people we shouldn't associate. You understand? Every one of us. But the Word of God says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. So this is something that's not in Christ, and we just pray about it. This is something that we're aware of. It hasn't been done away with. This is something that is our responsibility to walk before God and be holy. You understand? Some things are not our responsibilities. They are done in Christ. But there are things that we are responsible for. That's one of the things. We're going to close in 2 Corinthians 10. You know, and I really exhort you just to think about it and go through the Word and find those things in the Word that were not available or were available up until the day of the new birth to Pentecost. And then they got passed away, they got done away with in Christ, and then the new that came on the day of Pentecost. You could make yourself a big list. And that list could help you because you're going to find that, oh, I have this, and I have this, and I have this, and I have this, and I have this. And then you're also going to find, oh, well, this hasn't come yet, so I got to deal with this. This hasn't come yet, I got to deal with this. Here's the key. If you don't deal with it, it'll deal with you. And that's just honest. Look, God promises a new body. He promises a new heaven. He promises a new earth. He promises a new kingdom. He does. Paradise is going to be restored. Okay? You've been in your garden lately. You got weeds growing in your grass. Paradise hasn't been restored yet, right? As a matter of fact, the earth we have now, it's called cursed. But that curse is done away within the book of Revelation. So what do we do? When we got dandelions growing in our grass, we say, oh, that's been passed away in Christ. We say, no, that's, you get ortho and spray it. Or buy a billy goat to eat it, right? You deal with it. Or you can just close your eyes to it and have weeds all over your place. And that's what some people do in their lives. They close their eyes to it and have weeds growing out of their ears and out of their head. And they just said, oh, it's all done away within Christ. What is that dandelion sticking out of your nose? I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. Some things that we can do, then God expects us to do. And the things that we can't do, well, then he's already done them in Christ, or he'll do them for us, right? But he expects a little help. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imaginations, thoughts, opinions, ideas, words that are contrary to the knowledge of God are things that have not passed away yet, right? Have you ever had a rough day? You ever had to talk to yourself? Don't think that way. See the Christ in that person. What would Jesus do? Right? These are things that haven't passed away with. So what does the word exhort us to do? Cast what? It says cast them down. Who does the casting down in your life? You do. Who does the casting down in my life? I do. If I just ignore it and walk away from it and say, I got all this in Christ, then I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't come full circle. Do I have things in Christ? Absolutely. But have all things become new? No. Are there still old things left? Yes. Some of them are thoughts. Some of them are ideas. Some of them are opinions or words that are contrary to the knowledge of God. And if you don't have one today, I'll guarantee you that somebody will throw one at you tomorrow on your ride into work or on the TV or on the newspaper or on the internet. Contrary to the knowledge of God. Huh? Who wants a bet? Who wants a bet that you can go through your day and not find something popping up that's contrary to the knowledge of God? I will bet you. I don't bet, but I'll bet you a burger. But you can't do it. You can't turn your internet on and find, and you can't do it. Can't go to the newspaper, you can't do it. And the TV, whoo, can't do it. The radio, can't do it. It's just, and it's all reaching for you to what? To conform you, to push you into that mold, that cookie cutter mold with little horns. That's what it wants to make you. Right? We cast down thoughts. We cast down ideas, opinions, words that are contrary to the knowledge of God. Every thought is to be brought into obedience to Christ. Who's to do that? We are. How are we to do that? Well, that's the question. Your personal relationship with the Father is the first place to start. And then I've thought of some helpful keys. And one of the helpful keys I thought to be able to help us, you know, do what our part requires us to do from God is practicing the presence of God. You know, how would you act? How would you think? What would you say? And what would you do if you practice the presence of God? Practice the presence of Jesus Christ. If you knew Jesus Christ was sitting right next to you, I'm not going to tell you that he lives inside of you. Does it say Christ in you somewhere? If that was in your mind, right? Remember, what would Jesus do? That kind of thing. Just little keys. But you know, if you start to think that way, you're not working yourself to God. What you're doing is you're making yourself aware of who you are and the presence of God and the presence of Jesus Christ. And they're just little keys to try to help you to think, oh, you know, I probably shouldn't say that. Or I probably shouldn't do that. Or I probably shouldn't think that way. Is that glorifying God? Is that blessing God? You know what I taught my children when they come into a situation they were growing up? This is what I taught my children. Is mommy going to be happy? Is daddy going to be happy? Is Jesus going to be happy? Is God going to be happy if I do this? That's what I taught them. Okay? And throughout the years, they would come to me and say, you know, I thought that, but then I thought, well, is God going to be happy? Is mommy going to have, you see? And I taught them mommy and daddy because it could relate to me better. Ultimately, you know, you wanted to go to God. But see, when we think, if we start to think about other people, if we start to think about God, we start to include his presence in our life and Jesus Christ, you know, and we start to dwell on these things, then we can make decisions and act certain ways, you know. Another key, ask God, you know, very simple, what would you have me do in this situation, Father? Instead of running off at the mouth and have to apologize for the next 3 days to your wife. Just take a break and say, what would you have me do in this situation? You know what that might include? Praying, right? But see, we're so fast, and it's McDonald's, and it's Burger King, and it's Easy Pass, and everything is zoom, 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 zoom. We got maybe to slow down a little bit. Because we get to moving so fast, we get to speed God right out of our minds. Learning the word and remembering it, and then acting accordingly. These are all some of the little keys. And here's the last thing I wrote. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's a good verse to keep in your mind. Am I seeking God's kingdom by what I'm doing and how am I thinking? And learn how to please God. What pleases God? And you know, we can learn what pleases God by knowing what his word says. Pray with somebody. It was another little key I had. somebody that will come alongside of you, and stand with you and hold you accountable. You know, if you need that. And be honest with them. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Sometimes, you know, that reaching out and that finding that individual saying, you know, I'm having a problem in this area and I want to beat it. And I know that I've been given the victory. Maybe just that and that person calling you, how you doing in this area? Or let's pray about it. And, you know, there's lots more and there's no formula. But the thing is that we realize that some things haven't passed away yet. There are still temptations out there. And the Word of God teaches us that. And it teaches us that if we're going to be mature believers, that we have to learn how to discern both good and evil. And we have to learn how to act accordingly. So being conformed to this world is still a temptation. So we have to be aware of it in the things that we do in our life. And being transformed by the renewing of our minds is still very much alive and real for the believer today. Casting down those imaginations and those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing them down. That's very alive and real. We have to be aware of that, and it's our job to cast those down. So these are some of the things that haven't passed away, coupled with some of the things that have, some of the old and some of the new. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thanks that we realize what our job is. And, Father, we thank you that you have equipped us and you have already given us the victory. And all we have to do is walk on it and believe you, Father. Thanks for each person. Thanks for blessing them and watching over them. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.